All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
Oh, yeah, we are back. It's another beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah,
and actually, hashtag Wheel Wednesday.
There you go.
Because it's, oh.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So.
Let's get into it, man.
It's another beautiful Wednesday. I am Louise from Koenig Wheels, and this is my esteemed buddy here.
I'm Jared. Last I checked.
Also from Koenig Wheels.
Indeed.
And we're excited to have you guys here with us. Just to make sure you tune in every Wednesday here, because we're going to be doing podcasts every Wednesday until the foreseeable future, or if YouTube ever goes down.
There you go, right?
You know,
or suddenly Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and all the others that were on combust.
Because we are almost close to the end of the world, people. Woohoo!
Anyway, yeah, so that happens at 3 p.m. every Wednesday.
Yes.
And of course, right before that, we have our Facebook and Instagram Live at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Where you can ask us.
11 p.m. Pacific Time.
Basically anything.
Somewhere Mountain Time. European Time, we have no clue.
All right. Well, that's all the not all the administrative stuff. On Fridays,
we got something cool coming out for you. You know, where we talk about what was the last one? Well, one of the last ones that we did was about metal and rubber valves,
valve stems.
Get so it right, enticing, man. But you know what? People like this type of stuff. So, and also, if you have any suggestions, if you're watching this, make sure you put them in the comments, because we'll probably make something off of your suggestion and even maybe shout you out in it. Who knows?
There you go.
If Jared feels froggy.
Why don't we get into the topic?
All right. This topic is a pretty cool one. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because your boy, me, yes, I got myself a new Ford Fiesta. Now, I know it's not that fancy.
It's not just a car.
That's why I didn't say anything. All right. But it is a manual. Now, it's my daily, okay? The reason why we're going to have this conversation that we're having today is because I don't want to do anything too crazy for it. It's my daily. I'm also learning how to do some of these modifications
but,
and stuff like that.
But maybe you'll get a project car.
Well, that's the thing that I kind of want to do, because I am a new car guy. You know, I'm learning a lot of things on the fly, and I think that's one of the cool things about working at this company, that I have people like Jared, like Scott, like a lot of these guys out over here that are teaching me new ways to approach on how to modify my car. Now, I don't want to do anything too crazy. We've talked about this before. I'm a very conservative type of person. I just like clean. You know, I don't like anything too crazy. And we were just talking about what I want to do as far as with the Fiesta. Now,
Spawned the discussion, though.
Yeah, give us those comments below, because when it comes to me, when it comes to the Fiesta, I don't want to do anything crazy. Maybe put some you know, work on the suspension, put some new wheels, and that's about it.
But it spawned the discussion at work, right? What did we all used to do respectively to our cars then? What would we do now? You know, obviously, I come from the Subaru world. Scott comes from, you know, the world of DSMs. Doubt. Comes from the VW stancy kind of world. Like, everybody's kind of got their flavors, and they all got started in different ways. And so we thought, why not interview everybody at the company and sort of see how they modded their car then versus now?
Yeah. And I think, so one of the cool things, like, so let's start off with what Scott told us. Now, I don't have the notes here.
That's all right. That's okay.
So Scott told us that his first car was a 1992 Toyota Camry.
All right, well, now, Camry?
Camry. Sorry.
But wait.
I was looking at the camera and I said Camry.
Jesus. Before we get into Before we get into that, though, he was very clear that he didn't want this car, right? So preface with that.
That was one of the, he told us the story about how it worked out. So obviously he was a teenager, he was a kid. We all go through this. Our parents have a big say on how we purchase cars, what we do with our lives when we're kids.
You live under my roof, I choose your car.
Wow. That's who sounds like that? That's your dad?
I don't know.
Your dad sounds like a Rocky? The Rocky movies?
Your dad's a... Anyway... So he got a 92 Camry.
Yeah, so he had a 92 Camry. He really wanted a Civic or a DSM, you know. But, you know how parents are. They see two doors. They see too fast. That's not the car for you, my son.
There you go. So what did he do?
So he ended up getting a 1992 Camry. Now, some of the things that he did say he worked on, which were...
He did a custom exhaust.
That's right.
Which back in the 90s was... For that specific car was unheard of and way, way more work than it needed to be. I mean, he was talking about chopping like the middle of the middle of the exhaust to like put on a 2.25-inch piping with like US flanges that he had to weld on, like ridiculous stuff that nobody in their right mind in this day and age would ever do to a Camry. So that was like the cringeworthy thing that he did.
Well,
right?
It also brought an interesting conversation when he was talking about it. It's like back in the day, like now we get things brought to us right now. Like literally I can grab this phone, order a part from Amazon. It'll be here in a day or two.
Well, and for literally any car on the planet.
Any car. Yeah, back in the days, you know, I thought it was very cool because this works in any lifestyle that you're in. Back in the days, if you wanted something, it took time. You'd have to look through magazines,
Wait, magazine as in like on paper?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, he was mentioning, you know, Super Street and all these magazines that were out there back then.
Yeah.
And that's the only information you had.
Yeah.
You know, like websites were out there probably when I was a little kid, when I was a teenager, the internet was up. But when Scott was a teenager, the internet was still kind of getting its bearings in, you know.
Are you saying he's old?
I didn't say he was old.
Okay. Anyway, so he also did an intake, right?
That's right.
He said he did an intake, which, again, arguably doesn't do a whole lot except make more noise and, you know, make you feel cooler with that kind of car.
But yeah, that's what... To finish, what I was going to say is, like, back then, it took a lot longer to get these parts. So... For example, back then, what he was mentioning is that Toyota Camry didn't have a lot of aftermarket parts.
Right.
You know, so they had to do what he said, create their own version of some of these parts and do it themselves, which I think it's honestly cool, you know what I mean,
that he
did that. But then we asked him what he would do different now.
Well, but wait, before we do that, he had one more mod, right? He did, you know, all sorts of like stereo stuff.
He did the stereo. Which back in the days, that was a big deal, you know, getting yourself a sound system.
But we approve of that, I think, right? Like the other two things he did, maybe a little cringeworthy, but you can't go wrong with a sound system.
And who doesn't want to roll down the block bumping some dope music while everybody can?
Right. But fast forward to now, if he absolutely had to, like he had a gun to his head and he needed to get a 92 Toyota Camry.
So he wanted us to emphasize that what he would do first is sell it. he wouldn't even do anything to it. He would just sell it.
I would argue with that. And here's why. Everything... especially with the used car market, specifically with something like Bring a Trailer. Do you know how much money he could make on something like that?
But see, that's why I love working here, because your perspective is very different than his.
Dude, he would get so much money on that thing. I mean, bring that thing to Radwood and, dude, it'd be amazing. So he would sell it.
We did say to him, gun to your head, if you needed to make these changes, you needed to do some modifications now, what would you do? If he had that car, what would he do?
So what did he say?
And the funny thing is he said he wouldn't be that off. He would do this pretty much the same thing.
Okay. You know? Maybe buy an exhaust instead of make one, right?
I'd hope so. Nowadays there is more availability for that car and stuff like that. So
I'm surprised he didn't say wheels, tires, suspension, just like basic stuff to at least make it look cool.
Yeah, no, he said this, you know... He was talking about spark plugs and the wiring and stuff like that.
Low resistance wiring.
Yeah. But that, you know, and that's the type of car guy he is, you know. He's very, you know, clean car guy, you know. But
so who next? When am I going to embarrass myself? This is my favorite part. Oh, no.
Well, you know what? Let's do doubt first.
Okay.
Because I want to save Jared's here. Because Jared is probably one of my favorite stories that he had.
Oh, boy.
That we've talked about here. All right. But anyways,
fine.
So you talked to Doubt. Tell us a little bit about
Doubt. I did talk to Doubt. So Doubt's real first car that he ever modified and still owns to this day is a Mark VI GTI. I have to say,
his car is pistachio white.
Yeah, I heard my name.
No, that was Doubt right there.
We interrupt this broadcast to hear from Doubt.
So make sure if you ever see a pistachio GTI, just know who owns it. It's my man Doubt.
So yeah, back then it was, I have notes here, air intake, smaller wheels with bigger tires for more of like a comfort and performance level, which personally I agree with.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the car isn't pushing too much power.
Yeah.
And then he said a tune because, you know, especially with like Mark VIs and the later generations, those cars are fairly easy to, when I say easy, I just mean in terms of like plugging in a computer, so to speak, and modifying the tuning versus like someone like me in the Subaru world, you have to get an access port and it's a whole other world. So that's what he did back then.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was kind of surprising considering he's like, you know, a Stancy guy.
Well, and that's the thing. That's one of the cool things I like about this story in some capacity is like how progressively people change. Their style changes with the times you change and stuff like that, where you're interested in changes. Like if the way that he described his car then to if you see it right now, and hopefully we get some B-roll pictures of it
because
he has some dope Renforms on it
now.
You know, his style changed. You know, he's bagged up, you know.
There you go.
You know, he's doing his thing. And the car, I love the car. It's a Stancy type of style car. And, you know, my man's doing it different at this time.
Right. So now, if he had to do it over again, funny enough, our sales rep, Jim, and him were arguing yesterday. He would do, like, Air Ride all over again. For sure. He would not regret that at all. Air Ride, wheels and tires, for sure. That was like... He prefaced by saying like that was sort of his wish list, but like being more realistic and being an older, you know, adult and somewhat mature, he would do the exact same thing.
Yes,
which I think is kind of funny.
And that's dope because you know now he that's his style, you know. Yeah. So for sure, I think that's dope. So wait, so now let's go into because you spoke with Jim, so I want you to take the lead on it because. You know, obviously, I love when you talk to these guys and they joke around and they get into what they were doing. So what did Jim say?
Well, I was going to say, maybe let's take a quick pause. You've heard from two people.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts regarding your car and how you want to modify it based on what you've heard? Has anything that Doubt or Scott said swayed you to potentially do something a little different?
No.
Okay.
and I say that with respect, you know what I mean? Because that's the cool thing about having you guys around is learning what to do and not to do and stuff like that. Right. And I've already asked you guys exactly what I should do with the Fiesta. You know, obviously, like I mentioned, I'm not sitting here trying to get on track with this thing. You know what I mean?
Hey, you never know.
You know, my thing is just I want my car to be clean, something that people would be like, oh, that's a nice car, man. Good stuff, you know? That's about it.
For an egg. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Hater.
I spoke to Jim. So Jim is one of our sales reps. He's had a plethora of cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the car he chose to speak about was his 2004 WRX that he used to have.
Ooh.
Yeah, which... soft special place in my heart,
of course,
right?
Is that the rally car? No that isn't right.
No the WRX.
Yeah,
like,
right,
it's
yeah.
Like it's it, after my bug eye, right? That's it's a, after my bug
it's not a bug eye too.
No
oh, sorry.
04.
See, I don't know these things. Yeah. And I'm learning.
It's all good So Jim what Jim was saying was that back then he did a full like motor build and all that stuff, but he did what he would consider small turbos. right? Mm. So small turbos and a charge speed for any of you Subi fanatics like me. He did a full charge speed aero kit, which is all made of fiberglass. It's super rare.
That boy had bread, you know. You know he had
there
bread.
There you go.
That's money. Anything fiberglass is money. But
well, yeah.
A whole body kit?
Well, and it's from
Japan. And he was trying to fly, I feel
it's
like.
It's from Japan, so you know. Anyway. So he did that back then.
He was showing off, you know?
Yeah. And when I asked him about what he would do now if he had that car, one of the things I really agreed with was, you know, he said he would do bigger turbos the first time around. And the reason that I feel so strongly about that is and we'll get into, of course, my car, but as someone who, you know, took a base model car and did a full motor swap and all this other stuff rather than just selling it and getting the car I wanted the first time, he was preaching that same sort of principle of like, look, I should have just done the big turbos the first time.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is admirable and, you know, shows a sense of, you know, maturity and, you know, having learned some stuff. So that was first of all. If he had the car now, definitely wouldn't have done a fiberglass kit of any kind. You know, now they make a lot of Duraflex kits. It's some form of plastic. I don't know the exact materials, but something that isn't going to crack at, you know, at the hit of a bump because, again, that kit was super expensive and like one of the kits to have.
Yeah.
So those were his big lessons learned from his build.
Yeah. So. And exactly what you said, like, you know, and this goes in life in general, you know, we mature, we learn, you know, we learn different things, and it even has, even with, you know, builds and stuff like that, the way you would build a car when you were 15 obviously is going to change when you're 30 and up. And 100%. I think it's dope that, you know, we get to have these type of conversations, because even myself, who, like I said, I'm not the quintessential, I'm a build a track car right now type of thing. But I do in the future want to do that. And getting this type of information for people who are like myself is very vital, man. I like this conversation just because of that, because I'm learning something from people who've done it before. And then I get to do it right this time. That's another reason why nowadays you see, because I think also the internet age and we have YouTube and stuff like that kind of teaching us, you see teenagers who are killing it on the track, you know what I mean? Because they have the information available to them. So I think that's dope, you know? I don't know. Just my little rant, you know?
So what you're saying is you're going to make your own one-off fiberglass body kit for this Fiesta SE.
Oh, yeah. No.
No? You're not going to try it?
No. I think when it comes to that car, I think, you know, at like Scott had suggested, if there's a possibility to do some turbo on that car, I'm like, honestly.
You could see we're trying to push him to get the mod bug. We want it to really bite him so it just.
But my goal is
so he feels our pain.
I mentioned it to him before. I do want to get a car from myself that I can kind of play with, you know, do some of these modifications. If it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't work, you know what I mean? But kind of play around with this car. As far as this one, this is my daily. Imagine if I put something in there, all of a sudden the next day it doesn't work.
Well, and that,
that's just sucks.
And that's probably one of the most mature things I think you've ever said. Well, the fact that you can, you know, separate those two things and not have just one car that does all.
Now, when I had that, and I told him this before, when I had my Eagle Talon when I was younger, a lot of those situations did happen. You know, mind you, I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. A lot of my friends, they had their own shops. They were helping me with it. So, you know, the car was great, but there's things that I probably would have done different now that I did then. And I literally shit on that car, but excuse my French.
All right. So,
anyways,
am I going to embarrass myself
now? So now it's time.
Oh, Jesus.
To bring up the. Now, you know why I love this story? Because it kind of tells you the time that it was in. Jared had his first car that he modified was a 2003 Subaru Impreza. Beautiful car.
Just to be clear, not a WRX.
Yes, Impreza.
It was an NA.
Yeah, bug-eyed Impreza. You know, and For those who know, that car is dope. It's an amazing car. Point is, anyways, when it comes to the times, you know he was a kid at the time because the first thing he did was put neon interior lights.
It's true.
Might as well just tell us he was watching Fast and the Furious over and over again.
I was. I mean, there's no... Listen. I will own it. I'm gonna be 36
this
years
guy
old.
I was ready to go on the line with Toretto. Like,
look, he's not wrong. he's not wrong.
Check out my neon lights, bro.
But
opens
see,
the door. Shorty's coming in. What's up, guys? I'm here.
So I mean, so here's what's gonna make it a little more embarrassing. Okay. So, oh God, I put those in when I was in college. Of course, thinking that I was going to get all the ladies. but the thing is, it's like I had no concept of like how to like plan it out or, you know, properly do it the best way possible. And what I mean by that is I probably got some knockoff like eBay neons that were a little too small for like, you know, the under the console and whatnot. The bottom line is half the time I was driving and I was like hitting them.
They were shut.
Yeah. because my car was thick. So half the time I was like hitting them. But then of course for the rears, I had no concept of how to like properly mount them. So they were just like haphazardly placed under the seat. So like if some chick in the back, if some chick in the back like moved her foot, it kicked the neons all the way up front. It was
the best.
It was stupid. It was really stupid.
You're so, at the end of the day, I'm guaranteeing you, whoever watches this resonates with that story because everybody's gone through that. You know, you work on something, especially when it's your first time, you know, you mess it up, but then you learn. You know, so I think it's hilarious.
So,
I love that.
And of course, the car was midnight blue, so they were blue. Yeah. Of course. It had
now,
to be.
You know, Jared actually has a great picture of the car. I've seen where it ended up and. You did a good job.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But,
that story.
But the embarrassment continues.
Okay. So then he gets himself. This is how he wrote it. He said it to me. Shitty wheels from eBay.
It's true. It's true. This is well before I was working at Koenig and before I knew anything about wheels or cars or anything. I was cheap and I saw.
You're a kid.
Well, but. Yes, I was a kid, but I also didn't understand the concept of like how earlier eBay worked.
Yeah.
It's like I saw $300, $400 wheels, but it's like I also didn't realize it was $200 plus for shipping and all that.
Oh,
kind of. So like I thought I was getting a good deal, but in reality it was like, no, they're the same as if I went to a store and picked out a set of Koenigs or something. Some no-name knock off like crap, and you know the offset was terrible, like it definitely didn't sit flush or anything, like it was they were bad. And of course the kicker of the whole thing was the car was midnight blue. I got black wheels. Like what was I thinking?
This guy thought he was a ninja, you know.
I don't know what I was thinking, man, but it was so yeah. So that was the second mod I did. And then of course the third mod that I did.
Now this is common. So this is common. I think,
and arguably it's not a mod.
Yeah, but also at the end of the day I think it's, to me, well go ahead, say it first and all I'll tell.
I debadged my trunk. So I took all the badges off and made it just, you know, smooth and clean.
When people shave their cars like that, I think it looks dope.
But to be clear, I didn't do like a license plate delete. I didn't like do the weird like old school like angle it or anything. It was just a blank trunk.
But what I like about the mods that you did, it literally tells you the time it was. That
For
was
sure.
That time where every, you know, Fast and Furious was big, lights, colors, big wheel, like that was all there, you know what I mean? So
Well, so I'm going to tell you a quick story before I tell you what I would do now.
Uh-huh.
Because if you didn't laugh before, which of course you did, you're really going to laugh now. And I just want to preface by saying, there goes my political career after you hear this.
Okay.
So when I had the neons, I thought another great thing that was really going to get the ladies. Are you ready?
Okay.
My college advisor had a Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh my God.
He gave it to me. And I put that as like my little passenger doll. Thinking like,
get me out of here.
Thinking like, the ladies are gonna love this. He's got a doll from Sesame Street. So that was my third and a half mod.
All right. Yep. Okay.
I thought you were going to laugh a lot harder. I've just clearly embarrassed
myself. I'm just like, I'm
taking it all in.
Like, yeah. If I could turn red, which I don't know if I turned red. But
no, you didn't. You know.
He said, no, you didn't. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm turning red because for some reason, too,
like when, I was we in were, college,
when we were kids, even, too. Yeah. No, but when we were kids, people always had a doll or something.
All right,
like,
but hold on. Let's be clear. Most normal human beings, yeah, they had the dolls, but it was like the teen coilover doll. It was the, you know, the Michelin man.
Yeah.
I had a freaking Tickle Me Elmo. I don't know what I was thinking, man. So that was my three and a half mod. All right.
So now that we got through your young days, if you had that car today, Let's keep it down to three. What are the three mods that you would do to that car today? That car is beautiful.
I mean, first of all, let me preface by saying that I do miss that car, and would absolutely love to have one again, sure. Which, if anybody's watching, I have a bagged Baja for sale. You want to trade me one? I don't know. Anyway, what would I do if I got that car back? I would do things very differently, okay? So the first thing I would do is suspension, because in my humble opinion, every car looks good lowered.
Yep.
And that should be that. I don't want to tell you how to do things. That would be the first thing that I would do before wheels, before anything else.
I think most people agree with that. I think especially, and we talked about this because they had a podcast about, you know, the value of your car and stuff. I'm very big on, like, being able to eventually sell the car, you know. And when it comes to, especially my daily, that's the reason why I want to do suspension, because suspension, you can never go wrong with that. No matter what, that's a good mod.
Unless you buy cheap stuff. But
well, yeah.
Anyway.
But, whatever you do with that, I think it's always a good.
And so to be clear, I'm a lot more mechanically inclined now than I was back then. So I would definitely do coilovers. Yeah. I like the idea of having adjustability, being able to raise it in the winter, lower it in the summer. So that would 100% be one of my first mods.
And that's one of the cool things about, like I said, working here, as I'm learning how to do certain things. I suggested, you know, I wanted to do some lowering springs on the Fiesta, and you guys were like, you know what, why don't you spend a little bit more money, do some coilovers? That's something that I'm learning here,
right?
You know, so
and you have that adjustability,
exactly. And it in that case, it also kind of increases the value for me. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's just my anyways, go ahead.
So the second thing I would do without even batting an eye is I would get a spare set of headlights and have them retrofitted with HIDs. I wouldn't be doing it for show. I wouldn't be doing it for look. That car is old enough that it didn't even have, like LEDs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was a halogen bulb. I swear by retrofits.
Yeah.
I think they're great. Yeah. It makes such a difference when I'm driving at night, and they look cool. So retrofitted headlights definitely would be one of my top three first mods to do if I got that car again.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Okay. And three?
Three. I would actually do a detail and ceramic coating. And it sounds basic. It sounds...
Is that considered a mod, though, would you say?
Well, yes. And here's why.
Okay.
Subaru specifically, especially with those older cars, they really, really skimped on paint.
Mm.
I can't tell you, like, towards the end of my tenure with that car, half the reason that the paint was gone was because, like, they put maybe two coats on there.
Mm.
So the third mod that I would do would definitely be to detail and ceramic coat it because, first of all, dealerships definitely or typically don't do any form of protection when it comes to that sort of stuff. So they sell you, you know, they give you the keys, they sell you the car, and it's like, here you go. Here's a nice, shiny, painted car with essentially no protection. So I would make it, have it made look nice, polish it, detail it, all that kind of stuff. And then the ceramic coating would be to protect the lack of paint and clear coat. Those, hands down, would be my three things that I would do first if and when I got that car again. So
let's put it like this. After listening to everyone and what they've done with their first modifications, I would take some into consideration. Like, let's say if I were to have a car that I want to build, I maybe put it on the track or whatever it is that I want to do with that, I would probably take a lot of these suggestions. Like, for example, what you were saying, the retrofitted lights, that's something that I would consider for sure. You know, the turbo, obviously like Jim did when he's a bigger turbo, I would obviously take that into consideration too, the suspension, and then all these type of things. Air intake, obviously, you know, that's one of the first things that you should always kind of, in my opinion, go for, you know, when it comes to power and whatnot.
You got to let that engine breathe a little
exactly,
bit.
Exactly,
you know?
Man. Especially if you want to put it on a track. I think that's one of the first things you should always do. And yeah, that's what I would probably do. Now, as far as my Fiesta.
Yeah, that's what we all really want to know.
But the thing is it's two different things. All car guys have their daily and then they have their project cars. And
I know,
like
but
that.
This is all you have right now. So tell us, what do you think you're going to do?
Like I mentioned before, I still want to keep it very simple. I want to put a new set of wheels on there, you know.
No tires?
New set of
just
tires
rolling
as
on
well.
Wheels?
You know, shout out to my guy Falcons, which that's who I'm going to go to get some wheels.
Okay.
You know, I want to put some hypergrams, 17-inch hypergrams on there.
Okay.
And then some coilovers.
Gonna
and
be
then
rolling
I'm
gonna
call
on dubs.
It a day.
Going to be rolling on dubs. Those things are going to look huge.
They're tans, but I keep them clean, though.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyway,
but that's what I would do.
So if you have, you know, suggestions for my man over here, definitely put them in the comments below or hit him up on social media
and tell us your story. We're actually, because I know there's a lot of car guys out there who have gone through some weird stuff when it comes to their first bills. Like, we want to know it, and you never know. We might feature
we
it on our
know,
podcast right here.
We know that these stories are relatable to you, and we want to hear your stories.
And if you're anything like Jared, put in those neon lights,
oh,
boy.
God.
Look, I want to do it too now. Now, that's another one that I'm...
Hey, man, why not?
Look, it ain't a bad thing. We were just talking about, what is it, the glow?
Underglow.
The underglow. I just watched a Fitment Industry video where they were saying it's still hot. I think it's still hot, too, in the right circumstances.
Dude, you're going to be rolling around in a silver egg with changing colors under it? Oh, my God.
Imagine all white at night?
Oh, my God. Well, on that note,
talk about getting the ladies.
We are going to let you...
If Emily watches this, I'm joking.
We're going to let you guys go now, but stick around. No, I just said let you go. Podcast.
Every Wednesday, hashtag Wheel Wednesday, Behind the Wheel Podcast. Tune in. Be here with us. Talk to us. Give us some questions. Like I said, we're always trying to interact with you guys. Then what do we do on Friday, Jared?
Friday, we release a new piece of content. So like, subscribe, turn the notification bell on so that you know when we release that video. Yeah, wherever it is on the screen. And we'll catch you next time.